You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Good morning. My name's Hope Reed. I serve on the Welcome Team and in Little Village, and I'm going to be reading our passage this morning. It's Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to just turn there, stay in that passage. We've been in that passage quite a bit, I think three or four times the last few years. There's a reason for that. I'll explain that here in a minute. But I want to spend some time up front in prayer. Maybe you're sensing it and seeing it. Maybe you're not. This has been a rather intense season of spiritual warfare. I mean, just everywhere I'm looking, there it is, in our community of faith, in my home, in our community. If you haven't heard or wasn't paying attention to all that the Flower Mound Police Department's had to deal with lately, brothers, sisters, this is not an easy time to be in law enforcement, so I commend you and thank you for getting in harm's way to keep this community safe. Yeah, on top of that, The volume right now of tragedies in-house for our family of faith has been wave upon wave upon wave upon wave, and we've endured these seasons before. So I want to highlight one of them, and I want us to spend some time praying, and then at Encounter tonight, we'll war all the more. I want to show you one of what could have been three or four young children in our family of faith that are really backed up against it. So this is Abram Drake. Abram's family has served faithfully here for a long time now, specifically in recovery. And little Abram has just been placed in palliative care down at Children's Dallas. So Lauren and I and several of the elders went down yesterday morning and got to pray over Abram. And like just the faith in this little boy. So when the pain meds stop working for, and I know this is going to hit some of us in different ways. So just if you got to center yourself, breathe, disassociate for a second. Okay. Like when the pain meds won't work anymore, he starts singing these little songs to Jesus that he made up. And then he starts asking Jesus to take away his pain. And I want to ask that the Holy Spirit of God heal him. Because he can. In fact, Trevor Joy and I, 2 weeks ago, right flipping there, prayed for a man who had a degenerative eye disease and was about, and the Spirit of God healed him. This isn't nonsensical stuff. God is in this business. And I want to go to war for little Abram. And his family. And listen, this is one of many. So if you're in here and you're like, well, what about my kid? No, we want to pray for that. This is in a spot right now that I want to lay before us that by faith we might pray and expect big things and then hold open hands and go, you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see what we cannot see, but you have commanded us to boldly ask and expect. And so we're going to boldly ask and expect. I'm going to pray. Will you pray with me? For little Abram. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no power equal to yours. There is no scheme or plan of the enemy that can get in your way. We praise you for your goodness, even when we can't make sense of the circumstances. And now we come to you asking for the complete and absolute healing of Abram Drake right now by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that immediately, like in this very moment, color, vibrancy, strength would return to his body. I pray a kind of weird chaos settle in on the sixth floor of Dallas Children as this little boy is up and moving and unfazed. And I just pray you'd show off like that for the glory of your name, not for anything other than to make men and women marvel who have stopped marveling. And so we ask, Spirit of Living God, heal our little brother. Thank you for that when Satan squeezes and worship comes out. Thank you that as the enemy tries to destroy him, worship is coming out of an 8-year-old. God, give us that kind of faith as grown-ups. We praise you. We trust you. You are good. And it's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Like I said, we'll pray for Abram again tonight at Encounter. We'll spend a lot of time praying about the things that are going on in our community of faith, as well as asking the Spirit of God to heal and break through tonight in other areas. So join us for that 5 to 6:30 tonight. I want to lay before you in the next 34 minutes why church planting is the primary mission strategy of our church. That we earnestly believe and want in our little run together, right? So right now we're at 20 years. I don't have another plan. I don't have a plan B that I'm waiting to get to right now. God has me here with you, and it's been a long time, and I think it's going to be a long time more. But what we want to do with our run together, what I mean by that is what we want to do with our money, what we want to do with our time, what we want to do with our efforts and energy, is not continually build one ever-increasing brand, but rather to put our effort into the kingdom of God in such a way that we model what we believe God has called us to in valuing, treasuring, and working for the kingdom above and beyond our own, even at times, self-interest. And so what I want to do is just lay before you our commitment to that, where we get that commitment, why, and then the how, and invite you in to that process. So I have loved Acts 13, 1 through 3. If you've been with me for a while, you can always see, like, this brother's been spending some time. So in the early, it was Romans 8. I think I preached Romans 8 like 417 times the first year I was here. You remember that, John Lowe? It was just like every weekend, you know where you're turning, I know where you're turning, let's get back in. And what's happened over the last 2 decades is Acts 13 has become this kind of, I want us to be this kind of church. Spirit, help us be this kind of church. Do something like this here. So that Acts 13, especially the first 3 verses, provokes my imagination for us and what we might do and who we might be. And so I've got 2 points to this sermon. One is the unstoppable nature of the kingdom of God. That's point one. Two, our part in the story. That's it. 32 minutes now. Those are my 2 points. Let's look back at this Acts 13, 1-3. And pay attention. I know the day in which we live. Just pay attention. Find it. Just pay attention. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them out. So here's point one, the unstoppable nature of the kingdom of God. The fact that Antioch is here and that these men are here are in and of itself evidence that the kingdom of God cannot be stopped. So what we see happen at Pentecost: Holy Spirit of God falls, Peter stands up and preaches, and First Baptist Jerusalem is born. Right? Boom. And it's a big one. Right? 3,000 men saved on the day of Pentecost. So what are we at, honestly, with women and children? Right? 5,000-6,000. Solomon's portico, another 5,000 men. So what are we talking about, Ted? I mean, you've got mega giga Jerusalem. I can only imagine what their programming was. Right? Can you imagine their children's ministry? Top of the line for 33 AD. Tech, savvy. It'd be the church, man. Listen, there is a thing. We want to be a part of something, right? Like, Jerusalem's where it's at. The apostles are there. Right? Blue checkers on Instagram, they're there. That's my pastor. In fact, Corinth's going to get in a fight over this. Peter's my guy. Apollos is my guy. Y'all must not know Paul. Right? This is, we want to be a part of something, and First Jerusalem's where it's at. But it wasn't what the Lord had commanded. The Lord said, it'll start there, and then you go. But nobody's going. Why? Gosh, just so good there, man. Just so good at First Jerusalem. Who's preaching this weekend? Yes, Peter! Right? It's just good. Like, what? Why would you ever leave First Jerusalem? Church has got it going on. Like we happy to even tell people where you go. Jerusalem. Oh, man. I love your pastor. Yeah, Peter's great. Like, why would you ever leave Jerusalem? And so they're not going anywhere. They're certainly not fulfilling the Great Commission. Remember that last command before Christ ascends into heaven to go? No, they're all right. You got to understand, Jesus. I mean, look at this. Look at these groups. Look at these children's programs. I mean, look, they got scope and sequence, man. This is amazing. We're not going anywhere. So Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, a lay guy in charge of cleaning up tables, handing out food, basically ran the food pantry. Full of the Holy Spirit, preaches. Listen, if you're not in full-time vocational ministry and you've bought into the lie that you can't know deeply and rightly the word of God in such a way to be a theologian, you're wrong. Read about Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. This brother lays out a clinic in biblical theology by starting with the Exodus and showing Jesus throughout the Old Testament and then telling the crowd that they killed Jesus. And for that, they murder him. They drag him from the pulpit out to the outside wall of the city, and there they take off their cloaks for better range of motion, and they pelt him with rocks until he dies. And we pick up that story in Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul, which by the way is a name we've already read today, approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. The unstoppable nature of the kingdom of God. Church is blowing up in Jerusalem, not fully stepping into the mission that God had given them. Satan incites demonic powers and principalities, as biblical language, incite evil men to attack the church of Jesus Christ. Those powers and principalities murder one of the Lord's servants and scatters the rest of the followers except the apostles who stay. And Saul, seeing the murder of Stephen, heartily approved and set his face to destroy the way. He's going to tell us later to a letter he wrote to one of his disciples, Timothy, that he had murdered and that he was a blasphemer and a violent man. And that has this in view, that he's kicking open doors. He's dragging men and women out of their homes. He's throwing them in prison. He is, according to Hebrews, plundering their property. And then look at Acts 11, 19 through 21. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. So this is still monoethnic, right? And even as they're scattered and going, they're still not grasping the fullness of God's vision for the globe. Do you see that? I just want to highlight it. They still can't get it. So even as they don't fully get it, God's using, accomplishing, doing. Look, can we stop? I don't even have time to stop. Like, they don't get it. And God's still using them. Good Lord, how many of you waiting around till you get it? That ain't how mission works. That's not how the kingdom works. He doesn't need you to get it. He's got it. Just needs you to be sloppily obedient to what you know. Can you imagine? That's the vision of you. Sloppily obedient to what you know. You know, I, I wish you could have some imagination of what Jesus Christ would do to your boring American dream life if you just sloppily tried to be obedient to what you know. I mean, it could change things. I've got to stop that. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenist also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. How did we get to the church at Antioch? And by the way, the book of Acts, I love doing this because if you did men's or women's Bible study, you went through Acts with us. How do we even get to Acts to begin with? Let me say it this way. The focus point through Acts 1 until Acts 11 is Jerusalem. And then it shifts. In Acts 11 and Acts 11 forward, it's Antioch. It's Antioch, it's Antioch, it's Antioch. Why? Well, this community starts to, in some very real ways, embody what God is after from Genesis to Revelation. Right? Like the community of grace that is here is unbelievable. Like it's a model. We should look at this and pray and long and want for God to do this kind of work in this place. Like, look at this. Look who's here. Like, how did Mananiah get in here? He is lifelong friends with Herod the Tetrarch, Herod Antipas, Herod the Great. You know anything about Herod the Great from the Christmas story? Huh? What was his gift to the world on the very first Christmas? Oh, murdering dozens and dozens of little boys in the Bethlehem area. They were under the age of 2. I want Mananiah in my home group. How can you be friends with Herod? He killed John the Baptist, bro. How are you still friends with Herod the Tetrarch? Man, I think you're a spy, bro. I think you got an ulterior motive, man. I think you're here to out us, destroy us. This is not a period of time that's friendly towards those who are following Jesus Christ. Clearly, this brother's a spy. Herod, 10 wives, 15 children across those 10 wives, murdered a couple of those wives, murdered even more of their children, had his in-laws killed. Herod the Tetrarch. Our boy here is in this home group. We've already read about Saul. Huh? Saul's in this group too. Why? This is weird. These two brothers joined the church at the same time. And then you got Barnabas. Do you know that Barnabas isn't Barnabas's name? Like, again, you got to go back to the beginning of Acts. Like, Barnabas is an early adopter. He is converted more than likely at Pentecost or at Solomon's Portico, one of those two places, because he is the first one, his name's Joseph, that sells, he's wealthy, he sells a plot of his land and he brings the money and he lays it at the apostles' feet and says, give it to whoever needs it. And they're like, dang, this guy's really encouraging. Let's change his name. We don't have that power anymore. I can't be like, oh, your name's Bob now. But he gives Joseph a new name, Barnabas, son of encouragement. Every time we read about Barnabas, that's exactly what he's doing. It's like a human golden retriever. Just always happy, always excited. Nothing ever bothers him. You're his favorite person, right? This is Barnabas. And this is the group at Antioch, which was born when violent men sought to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And what are they doing? They're worshiping and fasting and praying and listening and longing to hear from. And then they're obedient to what is born of that. See, I think one of the great schemes of the enemy right now is just to divide us. We'll divide over almost anything these days. And here's why. Let me try to. I think that if Jesus is an add-on to your calendar, division's always gonna be there. Are you tracking with what I'm saying? Like if Jesus is on the calendar like soccer practice is, right? Or cheer camp is, or right? If that's Jesus to you, right? It's Sunday, this is what we do on Sunday. Well, it's Wednesday, this is what we do on Wednesday. Oh, and it's just on your calendar. It's not your life. Then it's gonna be very easy to divide us. But if Christ is our life, now we got a shot, guys. Now we got a shot to love one another, to work out the 54 one another's that we see in the New Testament, to serve one another, to consider you better than me, and you would consider me better than, and we would serve one another, love one another, give one another the benefit of the doubt, and not divide over any little thing, but give the benefit of the doubt and understand that we're all in process and God is at work in all of us in various degrees based on the faith that he gives us. So as long as Jesus is just on your calendar, I don't think we can ever become this kind of church. But if he is our life, then everything's possible. Everything we read is possible. Now, with this said, this is a community that's economically and ethnically diverse, right? They're obeying, they're putting into practice. And here's a fun thing about living in 2021 and having all these thousands of years of Christian history to look at. When the people of God step out first and foremost with the gospel and become the kind of community that is shaped by the word of God, shaped by the power of the Holy Spirit, and is eager to make much of the name and fame of Jesus, humanity flourishes. Right? And so I've been arguing this way for years. If you've got a pet project that you're really, really serious about, right? Like you're saying, I want to see Roe v. Wade overturned in my lifetime. I want to see education available for all. I want to eradicate the ethnic hostility that I see all around us. You're really serious about that? The way to do that is to lead with the gospel everywhere you can. Right? I'm just telling, like, this is like, it's been documented now. I've shared this with you before, but I'm gonna share it again. In 2012, sociologist, he's a Christian who works in sociology, he published this research document that was, he spent 10 years putting together, 10 years researching, and what he was researching was the effect of Protestant churches around the world and their effect on the communities in which they were planted. Now, the reason he went with Protestants as opposed to Catholics is Protestants are more vigorously evangelistic and are seeking converts, right? Like if there's ever a Protestant church planted, their thrust from day one is converts, 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 converts. You're not gonna get a lot of people from big built out churches that are following Jesus that are more often than not now gonna go to a cafeteria in a local school and jam their baby into a room with 40 other kids that they don't know that simply, you know, has like a cone in front of the door to keep them in there. So what do? You hit the ground evangelizing. You get into the community, you start sharing your faith. The core team is built around mission and mission alone. And they go and they get after it. In fact, data shows that if you want to see people come to know Jesus, plant a church. That the most effective way of evangelizing a community is to get a church there that's built on the gospel of Jesus Christ and serious about the mission of God. But here is, I just want to give this quote from Woodbury's, his research. Areas where Protestant churches had a significant presence, even in the past, are on average more economically developed today, with comparatively better health, lower infant mortality, lower corruption, greater literacy, higher educational attainment, especially for women, and more robust membership in non-governmental associations. Do you hear what's happening? That where the Church of Jesus Christ leads with the gospel and captures the heart and soul of a man or woman, culture begins to shift and change. Values begin to be woven into the culture and the community, not predicated on some external utopian, let's build it, but born of a heart made new by the Spirit of God and the atoning work of Jesus Christ. So if you've got to, I want to see this happen, then if it's actually tied to God's vision for human flourishing, then what we need is to be people who are unapologetically gospel people. The solution to it all is the gospel. If we're not careful, we get that backwards, right? We start to solve this problem and try to get through the problem to get to the gospel. And the reality is the gospel bears its weight on the issue and ultimately heals it by the transformation of souls that then are conformed to the image of Christ and live in culture and in the domains that God placed them in order to change it. This is the unstoppable mission of God. This is the kingdom of God breaking through. So no act of violence, no government authority. Like, we got to Antioch, and Antioch's willing to be obedient. It is never fun to lose very gifted, very godly people to the mission God has for them. Like the number of gospel goodbyes we've had at the Village of people that we loved, who were with us, who we would have loved to be with us for 10, 15 years, but God had a call on their life. So instead of like grabbing that and making it difficult to get out of here, we wanted to celebrate them going. And part of that's this. This is Acts 13. Like, really? Saul and Barnabas? Like, I'm just telling you, I'd be throwing out Lucius' name. So I've done, I think, 2 or 3 hospital visits the last couple of weeks. Saul's hospital visits always go different than mine. Know how well you know the book of Acts. Like, I went down yesterday. We cried. We prayed. Boldly believed. Ask. And then we came home. Like, that Saul's hospital visits just go wildly different than that. Just shows up. It's like, okay. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Just get on up. Hey, go on. Come on. We're getting out of here. That guy off staff? No. Think. No. Lucius. Lucius is great. You should take him. Simeon. Simeon can preach, yo. You should take Simeon. And then Barnabas. Like the one guy you know every time you show up at church. Like, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about you all week. I'm so excited about you being here today. I mean, God, I love watching Jesus in you. You're like, whoa, bro. Tell me your name again. Barnabas. It's Barnabas. Right? Like those two guys. And yet Antioch's like, no, the kingdom, the kingdom. And so this starts the first of 3 missionary journeys that seeds the ground for the spread of Christianity across the globe and the ultimate demise of the Roman Empire. Now, let me very quickly put us in the story again. Right, so this is taking place at around 51 AD. All right, around 51 AD, Paul is heading out on the first missionary journey funded by Antioch, sent out by prayer, through prayer and fasting and hearing the Holy Spirit and celebrating as they go. But that's not the only thing the Lord was doing. In 52 AD, the Apostle Thomas headed to India. And then in 54, Paul headed out again. He comes back to Antioch. They celebrate. We're going to look at that this fall. He comes back to Antioch, and they pray, and they worship, they fast. He goes out again, and he just comes back. This becomes base, right? To be encouraged, to get funding, to hear from the Holy Spirit, and then to get back out. In 54, Paul heads on his third missionary journey. In 174, I know that's a big jump, first Christians are reported in Austria. Keep in mind, we're talking about this tiny little landmass. Tiny little group of believers, I mean, globally, 15, 20, 30,000. 174, the first Christians are reported in Austria. 280, the first rural churches emerge in northern Italy. Christianity is no longer exclusively urban. I don't know if you knew this, for the first 200 years, Christianity flourished in the cities and wasn't outside the cities. So those who didn't dwell in the city were called pagans. So when you see pagan in your Bible, it's almost always, not always, but almost always, referring to those who lived outside of the cities. By 350 AD, 31.7 million people, or roughly 53% of the Roman Empire, called Jesus Lord. And that's a long way from heartily approving the execution of Stephen. How did it happen? Because what the devil means for destruction, God flips on its head. What Satan means to rip apart, the Spirit of God uses to let more people see the beauty and glory of his grace, so that Satan becomes almost a pawn in the hand of God, who thrashes about, and even as he seeks to destroy, can only serve ultimately his enemy. Like, how powerful is God that Satan's best devices ultimately serve his cosmic purpose? I love that. I like to remind the devil of that every now and then. You know that verse, resist the devil and he will flee? You know that verse? Here's what that means. Satan bullies who he can bully. And he won't who he can't. I'm just saying, y'all seen too many movies. Y'all seen too many poltergeist movies. Like, if you could ever spot, that's a lie from hell. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't believe that. I believe what the Bible says is true. Well, watch how that just goes away. Like, he's looking for easy wins. Look at me, men, don't be no easy win, huh? Don't be an easy win. For you, for your family, for the Church of Jesus Christ, ladies, don't be an easy win. Like, you can fight. These creatures are cosmic. Yeah, but they don't got the Holy Spirit. You do. Right? You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Resist the devil and he'll flee. I've got, dang it, back. 4:32, Patrick heads to Ireland. We celebrate that every year. 5:96, Gregory the Great sends Augustine, my God, and a team of missionaries to what is now England to reintroduce the gospel. The missionaries settle in Canterbury that were with Augustine, and they baptized 10,000 people in the first year. In 635, we see the first Christian missionaries arrive in China. In 740, Irish monks, do you remember, like St. Patrick went back there? You got to study Patrick's life. He was a slave, kidnapped, slave, escaped. Christ called him back, went back and actually evangelized the very people who enslaved him. You don't think the gospel works for historic frustration? 740, Irish monks reach Iceland. 900, missionaries reach Norway. By 1200, the Bible is now available in 22 different languages. In 1498, the first Christians are reported in Kenya. In 1554, 1,500 converts to Christianity are reported in what is now called Thailand. In 1630, there's an attempt to missionally engage the Mesos Indians in El Paso, Texas. You see, we're getting closer. 1743, David Brainerd starts ministry to North American Indians. In 1845, the Southern Baptist Convention Mission Organization is founded. In 1869, Holliford Prairie Church was formed by 13 people who decided that this area needed a gospel witness. In fact, their first little campus, if you will, was built out by, let me find it, by Old Hall Cemetery over on McGee Lane. That's where that happened, when this was nothing but prairie land. Now, by 1882, that church had grown like bananas from 13 to 37 out on the plains. So now watch, because we're getting close. So they moved in town. They moved in town where they became the First Baptist Church of Lewisville, Texas. First Baptist Lewisville planted Lakeland Baptist Church, and if you don't know the name Ben Smith, you should know that name. Ben Smith was the pastor of First Baptist Lakeland for 20-something years and planted over 30 churches in this area. We are one of those churches. It's a man who, hopefully like us, sees the kingdom as something more valuable to be sown into than your own brand or what other people think about, you know, your butts and dollars, right? Which is the American metric, isn't it? It is. How many people and how much money? Is it successful? It better have a lot of people and a lot of money. We want to reject that. Ben Smith rejected that. That's why you and I are in this room. And 1978 is when that happened. You just saw this. This was a little lake community. There wasn't like people, a lot of people actually living here. Just people would drive up from Dallas and they'd have a little lake house up here. And then this actually started to become a community, and Ben had a heart for it. And so he planted Highland Village First Baptist Church. Now in 2005, Highland Village First Baptist Church planted Providence Church in Frisco with Barry Keldy. Providence Church has since then planted Coram Deo and the Trails Church. In 2005, we planted Rick White at City View. City View planted Paradox and Redeemer. Paradox has planted four other churches. In 2010, Scott Brooks at The Door. In 2014, Blake Chilton down in Bryan College Station, Declaration Church. And then from 2014 to 2018, it slows down considerably, because our energies and efforts went into multi-site. Now let me say this, those were beautiful years. People became Christians, disciples were made, communities were impacted, but one of the back edges to that is we weren't able to really concentrate on and really do the hard work of raising up and sending out and well-funding church planters to the ends of the earth. And so part of the multiply command campaign, almost everybody knows part one of the multiply campaign, right? Part one was, let's roll off our campuses to be autonomous churches. I don't know if you know that, but that's four churches that I didn't mention in here, right? That are also autonomous churches right now, getting it and are starting to plant their own churches. Part two of multiply was to be far more aggressive about planting churches to the ends of the earth. Right, to join back in to this story and give ourselves over to it in a way that says, we first and foremost love Jesus and his kingdom, and we're super grateful for the expression right here, but we want to live with open-handed generosity and ferocious zeal for the kingdom before simply our expression of it, right? So multiply gets into effect, and we pick it back up in 2018 with Robbie, who's now down in Austin, Israel, who's over in Irving, Travis, who's in California, Rob Daniels is basically across the street. And then in 2019, Randall down to South Dallas, Ethan in Michigan, Neil over in Fort Worth. In 2020, we've got David Lee in Frisco, Spencer in Hurst, Matt, who's headed to Farmers Branch. We've got six or seven guys all ready to come into our 9-month to a year-long residency, be trained, funded, and sent out from this place. Some here local, some to the ends of the earth. This is what we want to spend our run on. Like, here's what I can get excited about. If I think about my time here, I'll be 47 this month. I got here when I was 28. We've seen some stuff, right? We've seen some stuff together. And you've been so gracious to me, goodness sakes, that you're even still here surprises me all the time. You've just been like, he'll circle, but he'll correct. Just give him some space. He's got to learn the hard way. He's that way. We love that and hate that about it. So in this season, like the thought of when my time's up, what, and the Spirit will decide that. To look at the fruit of 40 years of serving Jesus and go, who can come behind me and us and our team and drive this 25, 30,000 person ship into what's next? I mean, if that's what the Spirit had, praise God. But really, I think the vision he put in our heart, your elder's heart, your pastor's heart, is to actually, at the end of that run, look out and see thousands of biblically serious, spiritually alive, missionally zealous churches all over the world. And then I can just go, great, who's the kid that takes over this little engine that is gonna hopefully keep producing that on into the future? The kingdom of God is unstoppable. When all of this deconstruction and liberal nonsense is over, the Church of Jesus Christ isn't going to be liberal. She is going to love Jesus, love the Word of God, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and worship Jesus ferociously. That's how it ends, right? So in the space between how do we play our part well? Let me quickly, I've got like a 2.5-minute video from some of our church plants, not all of them, but some of them, just saying thank you. So let's watch this, and then I'll close this out.
Hey, TVC.
Village Church family. What's going on? This is Randall Bishop, church planner with Trinity Gospel Church for South Dallas.
Hey, Village Church. Travis Cunningham here from Story Church all the way out in California.
In January 2021, you sent us out to plant Union Church in Brighton, Michigan.
Good morning, TVC family. By God's grace, we planted a church in the pandemic, but we have been greatly blessed by the Lord.
We are moving ahead. God is developing a number of relationships in the South Dallas area and in DFW at large, and it's a great encouragement to see his hand behind the scenes. He really is a way maker, and even when we don't see it, he is working, and I know we sing that, so we got to sing that and believe that. I know y'all do.
Things are beginning to turn around post-pandemic. We've got new visitors coming every weekend. Our church is growing. We're seeing salvations. We're preparing for baptisms. Our giving continues to increase as we partner with churches and plants and missionaries across the globe. And all we are doing is trying to step into the stream that the Village Church created.
We are getting to build the infrastructure of the church and pour into our launch team, but even more than that, we're getting to share the gospel with lost people and walk alongside weary and hurting and broken people.
Partnering with TVC has given us a great foundation of relational trust and support with people in other churches to continue our gospel work here in Irving.
In terms of updates, you know that we have a fifth child on the way, which is a major encouragement. And it's also an added stress, honestly, you know, as we think through how do we plan a church and have a baby. So pray for us.
So thank you so much for continuing to pray for us, continuing to give to us and visit us. I just want you to know the work you are doing is seen by all of us at Story Church. And we are so grateful to God for all of you. Continue the good work the Lord has called you to do.
And we just want to thank you, TVC, for the investment that you made in us that has allowed us to do this work.
I just want you to know the work you are doing is seen by all of us at Story Church, and we are so grateful to God for all of you. Continue the good work the Lord has called you to do.
We are grateful for you, Village Church. We thank God every time we think of you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We pray for you often.
Greatly encouraged by you guys and looking forward to seeing you all in the future. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Love you, Village.
We love
you. We love you, TVC.
Bye.
I love it. Isn't that great? I love Randall's, part of Randall's church growth strategy is just to keep having babies. I mean, it works. It's happening. Let me land the plane in our time together like this. Without any apology, I want to ask you to help us keep doing this. Cost about $68,000 to take a man and his family and to come in and train. It's not just the husbands that we're training. Their wives actually spend quite a bit of time in that also to train them. And then as we send church planters out, depending on where they're going and what funds they've been able to raise, we will partner with them or support them up to 3 years. We're trying to get them to be self-sustaining. Some places, it's harder to be self-sustaining than others, right? If you're in Frisco, that's a lot different than South Dallas. And so we want to kind of, as best we can, form and build the help that we give these brothers, that we send them out. And so what I want to do, and I told you I was going to do this a couple of weeks ago, I want us to try to raise $100,000 today to help us keep doing this all the more. This is not aspirational. We're doing this. Like I said, we've got a waiting list of men wanting to come in and train with us. At this point, by the grace of God, the churches we are planting are flourishing. They're not floundering. They're actually reaching people and growing. And so we feel like God's got a grace on us, and we want to kind of raise to it and fight for it. And this is what was awesome. We haven't done a lot of this in my 18, 20 years with you, but when we did the 2030 vision, we said we want to do 30 of them in the next 10 years. We're going to crush that. I bet you we hit 30 next year or the year after that. That's crazy. We dreamed too small. And so I thought, man, let's raise funds to this end. And then this past week, I got a text and a guy just said, I would love to give a $100,000 match to this. And so here's the opportunity. We have an opportunity to make $200,000 today for this end. And I'm telling you, this is not aspirational. This is, we've got the men, they've got places, we know how to do this. Some of you are actually going to go with them, some of you Friscoers. I love you. You're going to have a new church in the next couple of years, because you should. Right? Some of you in other parts of the metro driving in, there's going to come a day where there's a church near your neighborhood that's preaching the same gospel that's being preached here. And I'm going to encourage you to go, to not buy in to the Jerusalem myth, but to buy into the kingdom. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us. And if you want to give, we've made it as simple as possible. You can go old school. If you got a check, if you don't know what a check is, ask your parents. But if you got a check, you can write a check. Just put planting in the memo and drop it in the joy boxes. But here's just an easy way to do it. You can text plant to 56549. You'll get a link from us, and you can give on that link. And every dollar that comes in is going to this end, right? Every dollar that comes in, and every dollar becomes two. You tracking with me? Up to 100 grand. So we got a shot at 200 grand today, which is, again, that someone would do that. It kind of blows my mind and just shows that God's up to something here. And I want to just stay in that stream that Travis mentioned and just watch Jesus get all the glory. And so if you're able, if you can, man, I would love for you to give to this end. So just text plant to 56549. Even if you're watching from home, don't even have to be a member of the Village to help us at the Village plant churches. And so, man, why don't we give to this end? And I'm going to pray for us. We're going to stand and sing, but I do want to lay this out because we had one in the 8:30. If this week, man, you finally said yes to Jesus, you've been reading the Bible with your friend, finally just said, you know what, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and you did that this week, and your friend or family member said, hey, the next step is to be baptized. We want to do that today. We want to just celebrate new life with you. And so when we stand up to sing in less than 30 seconds, There'll be men and women on that back wall. You just need to walk back there and say, hey, I gave my life to Jesus this week. I'd love to be baptized. And we've got shorts and a t-shirt for you and a towel. We got everything you need. And then at the end of our singing and communion, we'll celebrate new life with you. And so let me pray for us and then let's see what the Lord's up to. Father, it feels good to belong to your kingdom. There's rest there, the ceasing of striving there. There's healing to be found there. We praise you. We thank you that somewhere along the way, someone sacrificed and we're in this room and love you because of it. Someone laid down their preference and went. Someone stepped into harm's way. I thank you for those brothers back in the 1800s who came to a very violent part of the world in the hopes to establish the kingdom here. We're here today because of such faith. God, I ask that you grant this community faith to help, if you tarry, the next generations to have an even brighter gospel light, serious about the Bible, walking in spiritual power, zealous for your kingdom and its breaking in. Pray that you would grant us the faith even to be generous here today. To not have the Jerusalem mentality of it's got to stay here, but the open-handed gladness of Antioch, the celebratory, worshipful belief that your kingdom is unstoppable. Help us. We need you. It's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen.